Divided Nation. Divine Royalty Books, Music, and Movies presents DN Analyzation. Hey, superstars, great men and women. It is a powerful time to be alive. You have just tuned in to the DN Analyzation podcast. The DN stands for Divided Nation. I'm your host, Doyle Lee. I'm here in our beautiful state of Kentucky, where you have the finest Kentucky Derby and many other great national treasures. Speaking of national treasure, Divine Royalty is a company that produces books, movies, and music, and it is an honor to represent this great company in their efforts to produce materials that are focused on solutions. Divine Royalty produced a movie script entitled Divided Nation back in 2003, and they came out with the book in 2005. In recent times, the demand for this movie book project has surfaced, which gave Divine Royalty an indication to put more focus on this project. Recently, we have at least four movie offers and book distributors have been asking to be a part of getting this great work out. It may have a lot to do with the times we're living in, where it appears that our nation is divided on many, many, many fronts. Then to add a little more fuel to the fire, Black Panther has become one of the best movies produced in our time, breaking many records, so this may have easily been the reason why this book and movie has been getting the attention that it's getting today. So, we're going to ride this wave to the highest level. We're going to be discussing one of the most controversial subjects that one can discuss, and that is race relations. Starting in our families, communities, cities, states, country, and even global. Everyone cannot have this discussion. Everyone is not capable of dealing with such hot topics. We are going to discuss this topic in connection with the book and soon-to-be movie, Divided Nation. We're going to take a different look at race relations by examining it from the perspective of the author of a fiction book that most believe could come into fruition. We will not regurgitate the same ideas, methods, and discussions as before, but we will boldly go where none have gone before on this topic. It is time to give a new generation a new outlook on the race relations in our country. So you have to fasten your seatbelt because we are going to be discussing things that may turn your world right side up or upside down. This will not be your grandparents' podcast. I'm not sure you are ready for this. I'm not sure America is ready for this. I'm not even sure if the world is ready for this. But one thing is for sure, Divided Nation Analyzation Podcast will prepare you to go to the highest level of thinking, behavior, and conduct when it comes to how we view race in our nation. The highest level of thinking, behavior, and conduct. Wow. Divine Royalty's objective with this podcast is not just to have a good discussion or to shine a light on the positive outlook on a very controversial subject in our nation, but it is to bring solutions to our race problem. We're going to have some of the greatest thinkers of our nation as our guests. We will have professors of African American studies, some of their students. We will also have some pillars of the community, as well as your everyday working class men and women who want to weigh in on this powerful subject.
Today we are going to analyze picture 2 entitled, Let's Do Lunch. But before we can jump into this delicious dish of tasty conversation, Divine Royalty and the author Nako would like to welcome you to DN Analyzation. We want you to know that you are indeed royalty. So let's get started. Today we're going to dissect picture 2, Let's Do Lunch. Seriously, how seriously should we take our African American politicians? This picture opens with Raymond, who just finished his speech and is making his way into the limo. As a matter of fact, let's pause here and draw a clear picture of Raymond Jackson and who he is. Raymond Jackson is a flamboyant black politician who is about to become America's first African-American vice president by way of affirmative action in the White House. This puts Raymond in an interesting politician position. Everyone wants him to be their running mate because they know he's a sure win. If Raymond is a sure win as vice president, then they are a sure winner as president. This caused Raymond not to take his gifts and abilities serious. His attitude is, I'm going to use the system that's using me. Which brings us to our first question. How serious should we take our African-American politicians? I believe this is a very important question during this serious time we're living in. The African-American community wants to take our African-American politicians seriously, but they are afraid to do so. They have been let down so many times, especially the younger generations. So they do not want to be manipulated, undermined, used, abused, lied to, mistreated, or misled by the very ones who are supposed to be representing them. On the other hand, there are some who are only going to take them as serious as they take themselves. The sad commentary is African-American politicians are not going to take themselves seriously because most politicians don't feel the political system that they are operating in will take them seriously. So they are told indirectly not to invest too much in their political career. Political superstar. Post-Obama era, do you think Obama made it easier or harder for African-American politicians? In picture two, the narrator points out how Raymond appears to be a political superstar. Now, keep in mind that this book was published in 2005 and the movie script was written in 2003. So for your information, this was written way before Obama decided to run for president. The author Nico is often asked, did he know that Obama was going to become president based on his writings that predates our first African-American president? His response is normally, he did not know Obama was going to be the first African-American president, but he sensed politics was about to take on a superstar approach. There are many who believe Obama made it easy for the next African-American politician who is ready to help the African-American community grow politically. He set the tone by showing many politicians the African-American and the mainstream is willing to support them and give them their votes. There is a great percentage of people looking for someone like Obama to do it again. Many have said, if Obama could run or could have run another term, he would have won hands down. That alone lets us know people may be willing to get behind another African-American politician with the same ideas. It doesn't take much for people to want a political hero because people honestly want to change for the better. That may be the easy part. The hard part is the political presentation. Do they have the Obama delivery? Do they have the charisma that comes along with the ideas? It may be sad to say, but today's politicians must have a certain swag if they're going to be taken seriously. Style has somehow overwhelming substance. It used to be you had to have substance and a little style. Now you have to have a lot of style and a little substance. There must be a balance that will draw in both the younger generation and the older generation. This is what the author Neko calls the political pop culture. He warns us that we are heading to a place politically where it will be all about style and no substance. That is, only superstars will be the people who will be running for office. The more popular a person is when it comes to entertainment, the easier it will be for them to run for office and be elected. Maybe. This is why reality TV host billionaire is now our 45th president. With Obama, we were blessed to have someone who had both substance and style, and it may have been even across the board. He was just as intelligent and capable as he was sophisticated and cool. Right now, the bar is set pretty high by Obama when it comes to running for the highest office in our democracy. I just wonder, do you guys agree?
We will be right back after this commercial.
Divine Royalty Books, Music, and Movies presents Divided Nation. Part 1, Divine Destiny.
Divided Nation.
If the book is always better than the movie, then you have to read this book before it becomes a blockbuster movie.
Divided Nation.
A reality fiction.
Divided Nation.
Answers the great what if and what now that surrounds the African-American community.
Divided Nation.
What if an African-American politician picks up where our previous president left off?
Divided Nation.
Raymond Jackson had been trained all his life to do something that no one saw coming. Not even his wife or his mistress.
Divided Nation.
Get your copy today by going to www.DividedNation.org or www.Amazon.com.
Divided Nation.
If roots was our past, Divided Nation is our future.
Divided Nation.
We are back.
Too much on our plate. How much is on the African-American and the politician's plate? Now, in order to appreciate this point, you have to keep in mind Raymond can represent three entities. Number one, the entire African-American community. Number two, an individual leader. Number three, an African-American politician. In this case, we're going to look at him as all three. First, the community. If we're going to get ready for this powerful move that will enrich both the community and our nation, we have to take some of the focus off the matters that don't really matter to us or our purpose at hand. This is why purpose is so important. If we don't have it, we will begin to make everything our purpose and cause. These events or affairs can easily be a distraction to get us off the course of progress. The question within the question is, what are some of the distractions in the African-American communities? Once we clear our plate of all unnecessary events and affairs, we'll be able to bring into focus what we need faster and more direct. This is the area our politicians need to be more focused on, which is what our aim and our purpose, and not what is the latest scandal. For example, Mr. Kanye West made a statement that we will deal with more in depth in a later segment, but this statement made everyone start talking and responding in all types of ways. And my question is, what does that have to do with our purpose? Why is it that we feel obligated to respond and to reply to every statement that is made towards the African-American community? Some statements are just distractions to get you off the direct track to your destiny. There must be a politician who can say to everyone, don't put your energy and emotions into what really doesn't matter. It is another piece of the unproductive matter on the plate of our community. I want you to purchase our t-shirts to say, ignore ignorance. Ignore ignorance. Father figures. I got a question. Does the African-American community have a father figure? And if so, who? If not, why and why not? Raymond Jackson clearly looks up to his father. So Raymond is a symbol of the African-American community. Now, as far back as I can remember, the African-American community had a father figure. In the mid-60s, it was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And then it was Jesse Jackson. He picked up the mantle. And every so often, the community gets a politician to take up the father figure role and parent them. This parenting responsibility is to protect and represent the rights of the African-American community. Someone who can articulate their political needs and desires. The uncanny fact about this process is the people never choose the political parents officially, nor does the father figure announce that he is accepting the role by stating, I am the African-American father figure. Somehow it was a mutual acceptance and agreement without words. It appears for Martin, it was when he made the I Have a Dream speech on the march in Washington. For Jesse, it may have been when he ran for president in 1988. Both of these men could motivate the people, inspire the crowd, and represent the African-American community's best interests. But now we have a problem. It appears the African-American community is fatherless. Because for the first time in history, because they could vote for who they wanted to be their African-American community father figure, they chose Obama over Jesse and Al Sharpton. The problem is, in the fact that Obama was a national father figure and never accepted the role of the African-American father figure exclusively. Now that he is out of office, there is a void in the role of the African-American community father figure. It appears the community is looking for the next father figure. The author Nako believes the next father figure will be articulate and a political broker, someone who will help train the community for their destiny. That is maybe. Question: will we be divided about who will be our political father figure? Another issue we have to consider is the unanimous decision of who will be our political father figure. One of the challenges will be choosing one person who will look up to or look to as the one who will train us in our purpose and identity to move us towards our destiny. If we're going to meet this challenge, we are going to have to prepare ourselves to be one on the subject. It reminds me of John the Baptist, who was baptizing the people to be ready for his cousin's revelation of his messiahship. If John's work was not for any other purpose, it was to bring the people together to make a beating path to their destiny by accepting Christ as their Messiah. I'm afraid if we are not on one accord with this goal, then we, like John the Baptist generation, will miss a powerful opportunity to embrace the revealing of an important political figure of our time. Now, this is not a new phenomenon. How many times have we heard, "He doesn't represent me," or "He doesn't speak for me"? The question is, who does speak for us? And who is our political father figure? Without a leader, we will roam around like political and social bastards, hoping and praying someone will pass a bill or a law that will fit our cause. Maybe this void in the African American community is giving us enough time to study why we are always divided on this issue. We may think we are waiting for our next leader, but maybe our next leader is waiting for us to at least come to a unanimous conclusion of our oneness and of who we will be, or who will be our political father figure. African American women in the political machine. What do you think about African American women being the backbone of politics in America? Tarisha, in our book, is a representation of all the women who work behind the scene to help make the best African-American politician, or any politician for that matter, look good. You can research any political machine and you will find a beautiful African-American lady in the forefront or behind the scenes making it happen and keeping everything organized. Here's a question within the question. Do you think the African-American community appreciates African-American women in the political arena? I think African-American women may be appreciated a little more than the mainstream women because, for the most part, they have a history of running things single-handedly. Most African-American women are the single parent of the household in our community, so we are already used to her leadership and her visionary skills. If she can lead a house, then she can lead a community. The problem may be, as much as they have the capabilities, their work can't be appreciated if they are working too far behind the scenes, though. There were a few powerful African-American women in Baltimore, Maryland, who have done an outstanding job, but we don't hear too much of their accomplishments on a national level. Like so many others, they are making their mark in the nation with little recognition. And I heard someone say he didn't know how much a real powerful African-American woman politician was missed and even unappreciated until Michelle Obama came on the scene. When you think about how she spoke and motivated people, we actually saw a glimpse of how the behind the scene works and how it can move to the forefront with all of its beauty and boldness. Tarisha is a pleasant reminder that the same powerful women who run the house can also run a political campaign machine.
We will be right back after this commercial.
Divine Royalty Books, Music, and Movies presents a Divided Nation soundtrack entitled Daddy's Little Girl by new artist Jazz.
Hello, caller. You are on the air. Hi, my name is Brad from Houston, Texas, and I would like to dedicate the song Daddy's Little Girl by Jazz to my daughter. I'm sorry I can't be there right now, but Daddy loves you very much.
Well, you got it. Wow, this has been the most dedicated song all month. Fathers are dedicating the Daddy's Little Girl song to their daughters, and daughters are dedicating the song to their fathers.
Go to SoundCloud, MixCloud, or anywhere you stream your music and push play, like, and share. You can also purchase Daddy's Little Girl by going to iTunes, Amazon Music, Google Play, or anywhere music is sold and download it to your phone. Join the Daddy Little Girl campaign by going to www.facebook.com/jazz.brown.5602.
Now here it is, from Brad to his daughter and all the Daddy's Little Girls in the world and the fathers who love and miss them.
If you are here right now, silly as it may sound, I would parade you all over town.
We are back.
Humility. Question: where would you gauge African Americans' humility? And is pride a problem? Teresha wondered if Raymond's respect for his father was out of humility, fear, or love. Teresha gives us the ingredients to be prepared for the next father figure. We have to keep a lookout for pride, for it can sneak up on us, wrap itself around us, and we begin to use it as a security blanket. Mm-hmm. When it gets a little hard, we start to use it as a shield of protection. Until we are ready to put it down, only to discover we can't escape its grips. The very thing we thought would protect us now has become a prison. That is what pride is for most in the African American community. We are locked in the arm of pride. If we're going to be ready to embrace our next political father figure, there are a few points we have to consider making our own. Number one, we have to consider where our humility level is. So we have to ask ourselves, has black pride caused us to be divided to the point of no return? We may have to turn down our pride a little in order for us to be in a place to accept the process that we are embarking upon. One of the humblest acts for us to perform is to admit that we have pride and have become very arrogant. Now let's admit, the African American community has a sense of pride of itself and an arrogance that is undeniable. The author Nako suggests in our defense, this pride was to help us keep our head up during a very oppressed time. The only problem is, it appears that we can't shake it now, and it may be the very death of us and could cause us to miss the next powerful move. Number two, fear. Will fear stop the African American community from accepting the next father figure? Another important ingredient that is needed for the African American community to be prepared for the next father figure is a healthy dose of fear. This fear is a two-edged sword that is in the Bible. That the Bible says, you know, the fear is the beginning of knowledge. So there must be a level of fear where we can begin a new process of knowledge. Knowledge of who we are, knowledge of our purpose, and the knowledge of our destiny. Also the knowledge of who our next father figure will be. Fear is only to get you to a place where you are ready to learn to abandon the idea we can handle the situation without our own education and resources. Now, that alone sounds scary and would frighten anyone, causing them to hold tight to any knowledge of self-preservation. The other side of the double-edged sword is that it will stop us from coming together and accepting the next political father figure, causing us to miss a powerful opportunity to advance as a people. The fear factor is something that can be used for our good. It is time for us to use it by not falling into the trap of accepting the same old politicians. The latter fear will be a defense, while the former fear will be our school bell to let us know it's time to learn what it means to really come together on what can prove to be our most important decision. So don't be afraid to learn. Thirdly, there's love. Does the African American community need to learn how to love all over again? With the right kind of fear, it can help to begin the class of knowledge on how to embrace this new political father figure. So the last ingredient that is needed is love. Now, we're not talking about an emotional feeling that is supposed to inspire us to get along. No, no. This love objective is to do a few things. A, it is to cast out fear, as stated in the Bible. True love casts out fear. So we may begin in fear, but we will end up in love. No one wants to be moving towards their destiny in fear. Mm-mm. We want to move and progress in love. Fear helps us to begin the process. But if we stay in the school of fear too long, it will turn into a bondage that stops us from advancing. This could easily be why the African-American community is stuck in their past, because of fear of someone making them into a slave. That is why we always hear the statement used as a defense, "I ain't nobody's slave," when actually, somewhere along the way, the African-American community has become imprisoned by their own fears. So true love will cast out fear from the community, so we can love one on another level. This love will prepare us to love the next father figure. If this is not made clear, we will hate the very next person that comes to help us. And we will not accept the very person who has the blueprint to move us from our past into our future. B, once we have the ingredients of love, we also will be able to accept the love this father will give us as a community. We will not be afraid that someone may be trying to manipulate us, undermine, or exploit us. This will help the community to accept love and to give love on another level, to experience love like they've never experienced it before.
We will be right back after this commercial.
Divided Nation.
Divine Royalty Books, Music, and Movies presents Divided Nation, Part 1, Divine Destiny. Have you read this cutting-edge, controversial fiction that is becoming the center of conversation in the African-American community?
Divided Nation.
Divided Nation is about a flamboyant, playboy politician named Raymond Jackson, who had it all together until he met his match. His godfather, who he never knew existed, Mr. Goodson, turned his world right side up when he revealed to Raymond his true purpose in life. Listen to an excerpt from this powerful book from Picture 5, entitled Give It Up.
"No, son. No one told me anything about you. I'm your godfather." Raymond looks at his father in bewilderment, as if to ask, "Is this true? I was the one who stood at your christening, but stayed anonymous until the time was right." Goodson explains, "I guess this means the time is right." Raymond asks, as he stuffs his hand in his pockets, "Okay, you're my godfather. You could have revealed this to me at our family reunion. I'm a busy man, Mr. Goodson. So what is all this about? Why am I here?" Raymond says with annoyance. "You are here to give up the vice presidency," says his godfather. Raymond's laughter fills the room until he notices the serious expression on his father and Goodson's faces. "This is a joke, right?" Raymond asks his father again. "Right, Dad?" "Just listen, son," his father responds. "Raymond, where you are in life right now was planned by your father and me. We selected the schools, the people, the places you would encounter to prepare you for this very important time. You are not destined to be vice president," his godfather states. "This is crazy, man. You are crazy," Raymond responds. "That's all right. This is a little too much for him to take in right now," his godfather says in Raymond's defense. "Right now? I'm not taking this in right now or ever. You say you both prepared me for this time, but yet you want me to give up everything I've been working so hard for. Then what am I supposed to do? What is it I'm supposed to be if not vice president?" Raymond asks. "I can't tell you that yet," his godfather says. "This is a game, and I'm not playing," Raymond says, and begins to move towards the door. "I can't give you more information until you are willing to give up everything you have," his godfather replies. "What?" Raymond stops and turns to him. "Sometimes you can't get what is on another level until you are ready to give up what you have," his godfather explains. Raymond had heard and had enough. He opened the door and looked at both his father and godfather. "Do you know who I am? I am the first African American vice president. Not I will be, or it may happen, but it's already a done deal. We are living in the future right now, and no one can stop it. Not even my father and godfather, Raymond says. Son, you have 9 days to decide what you are going to do, his godfather calmly states. I already know what my answer will be, and it goes something like this. Raymond walks out and slams the door behind him.
Wow, now you have to find out why Mr. Goodson wants Raymond to give up becoming the next Vice President of the United States of America. What in the world could be more important, and will Raymond Jackson do it? When you finish reading this reality fiction, it will leave you asking these questions. What if this is the next chapter in the African American history? Don't be left out of the conversation. Get your copy today by going to www.dividednation.org or amazon.com. Read this moving book before you watch it as a major motion picture. Remember, if Roots is our path, Divided Nation has to be our future.
Divided Nation.
We are back.
Confidence. What is the confidence level in the African American community and why? If Teresha's calculation is correct, Raymond has all the necessary ingredients to be one of the most confident people in the world. His humility, fear, and love for his father gives him the confidence to be the man he was created to be. This can explain the confidence level of an African American community. It appears the African American community's confidence level is low. As much as we see the Black Lives Matter movement and other organizations marching for their cause as a whole, it appears our confidence level is not strong or as high as it should be, especially given all that we have accomplished, all that we have survived and endured. Our confidence level should be to the sky, if not to the roof. The author Nako's commentary on the subject of the lack of the father figure, too much pride, lack of fear, and hate causes the African American community confidence level to be at an all-time low. Once the necessary characteristics are in place, they will cause major changes for the better, lifting us up to begin to operate on the highest level. The author Nako points out that the logic is simple. For example, when one humbles themselves, they are exalted. So the African American community will stand in a position of promotion. When one operates in a love that casts out fear, that will be fearless, which will cause the African American community to be fearless in the face of all threats. And as a result, this process will cause the African American community to rise to the occasion of progress of their new destiny of unprecedented boldness. The author Nako believes that once the African American confidence is high enough, then the father figure will surface. And then it will be time for us to go to the next political level as a people and as a nation. Well, that's all we have for today. Let's stop right here and save some for later. I want to thank you guys for taking your time to listen. Looking forward to getting back with you and finishing this discussion on this superb topic, Divine Royalty. We'd like to thank everyone who made this podcast possible, especially our friend and savior, Jesus Christ. To the Queen of Divine Royalty, Miss Vanessa Brown, to another one of our editors, Mr. Eric Leo Alexander. A big thanks to our author who gave us such a profound and prolific book and movie, Divided Nation. On that note, if you want to download the previous podcast, you can go to www.dnanalyzation.podbean.com. If you would like to be a guest and give us your insight on this hot topic, the only two prerequisites is you have to read the book, Divided Nation, Abide by the Ground Rules. So get your copy or your electronic copy by going to Amazon.com and then sign up on the website again at www.dividednation.org. We at Divine Royalty know that you are intelligent and want to hear your thoughts on this great discussion. Don't forget to download one of the songs from Divided Nation soundtrack, Daddy's Little Girl by Jazz.
Divine Royalty Books, Music, and Movies presents Daddy's Little Girl by Jazz.
I got an email the other day from a friend who moved far away. It was a sad day. What he wrote blew my mind. I read it a thousand times. It brought tears to
Dads, go to iTunes, Amazon Music, Google Play, or wherever you download music and purchase this song for your daughter today. Daughters of all ages will love it.
Well, I kept you long enough. Let's do this again. I'll catch up with you when Raymond and his father are out to lunch.